The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the High FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
We are now on level two, and we've been trying to figure this out since the announcement was made. The difference, I guess, between could and should, just because we can go to gym, should we go to gym? It was easier to some extent when we had the law to tell us what to do. Now it's much more difficult because now there's issues, and I've noticed it. I started seeing it over the weekend already. Around social pressure. Well, you know, there's no reason you can't do this, and there's no reason for you guys not to come over and just come past, and all of a sudden, you become this crazy person if you want to adhere to stricter rules. The social pressure is quite difficult. How do we navigate this? How do we deal with this aspect?
Well, I think for me, the first place to start really is to look at the science really. Because I think for me, then, you know, we need to look at the facts. And when I listen to, you know, the people in the know, like Professor Shube and Dr. Marburg and the like, these are, you know, these people are telling us, these professionals, these people on the coalface are telling us that it is far from over, you know. And I think for me, you know, again, that's always a good place to start, because if we're dealing with facts and we're not dealing kind of with opinions and, you know, and maybes and shoulds, you know, I think again, then that's a good starting point to justify why you are, you know, doing what you're doing. And I think very clearly they're saying that, the virus is certainly not gone. And we've seen certainly listening to them, we've seen, you know, when other countries do relax too quickly, or do the coulds, then we do see a second, second spike and quite easily could go back into a lockdown three level or maybe even worse. So I think for me, it's a very difficult thing, Howard, because I think a lot of people, as we've seen, you know, in the beginning, people were doing a lot better. And as time has gone on, you know, this kind of lockdown fatigue that people are talking about has really, really kicked in. And people don't want to
stay in
houses. They want to. They do want to get back to some, people do want to get back to routine. And there is this lockdown fatigue. But I think for me, as we move down into the lower levels, you know, we spoke about this before, but I think
we navigate this? So we know that, yes, of course, we should rely on medical advice and we should rely on what is prudent and sound advice. And all of us have our own circumstances. So some of us might have comorbidities. Some of us might be living with people with comorbidities. Some of us might actually not have any or be in contact with anyone that we know of who has comorbidities. We've each got to make responsible decisions around the lives that we lead. My concern is, you know, one of the most memorable moments to me that still sticks with me was when COVID-19 started becoming a big thing. Anton Marburg said to me, we spoke about it we went, Shul was still open, and he said to me, just bring hand sanitizer, don't shake hands, etc. No one was wearing masks at that stage. But I remember being in Shul that Shabbat, in fact. And, you know, I said to people, yeah, I'd rather just not shake hands. And the comment that I got on more than one occasion is, oh, you're not one of those, are you? And you actually, if you're confident, and I would suggest that I'm reasonably confident about whatever I decide to do, but it still made me uncomfortable because I didn't want to be one of those. I'm not even sure what one of those meant. But that is the feeling that you get if somebody looks down on the choice that you make. So if you might not want to interact or you might not want to be in that environment, it can make you feel, depending on the comments and the reaction, quite inadequate and quite uncomfortable about your decisions.
And you're actually describing one of the most powerful confirmation biases, which is the power of local majorities. You know, when the majority of people around you have a certain viewpoint, you do feel very pressured to conform to that that mode of behavior. So I think for me, it really is about hopefully the majority of people having the sensitivity to understand that people, as you say, are in different situations, but you know, we can't control that. So it really is around asserting yourself and making sure that that, you know, you make making it very clear to people where you stand, and not to apologize about it.
Unfortunately, part of the problem around COVID-19 is the fact that we do impact on each other. So it's all very well for me to say, well, I'm not going to shake your hand. That's fine. That was back then. But if I decide not to wear a mask in a public place, well, hold on a minute. That is something completely different, because that is something that compromises other people. Okay, that still is at least that is illegal. We are compelled to wear masks in public places, but it can happen that you're in another environment, or you happen to be at somebody and somebody takes off their mask because they, you know, they don't believe that they need to wear one. So that's where it becomes problematic, doesn't it? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it can go either way. You know, it's interesting that people sometimes, when they are told to do things, then they are very resistant. You know, tell me what to do.
That's me.
and when people have their permission to decide for themselves, you know, there are a group of people, funny enough, who would, you know, conform and say, right, well, okay, now that I can decide, actually, I will wear my mask. Actually, I will social distance. So people are very, very interesting and respond according to their personalities. And I think for me, hopefully we're going to see in our community that people are going to, and in our region in Gauteng, that people are going to take responsibility and are going to actually see that their, you know, that their decisions have a huge impact on other people. So again, you know, how it's always about, taking control of what you can. And again, you know, some people will understand and some people won't. Some people will you know, really be kind about your decisions. Some people will be judgmental, but the bottom line is, you know, control what you can control. And if you decide, you know, where your boundaries are, where your line is in the sand, and then please be sure to not be apologetic about what you've decided to do.
It's really a fascinating thing. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. And David, in terms of deciding what to do and what not to do, it is very scary because, you know, we get so much conflicting advice, and there's so much around this virus that we don't know. How do you decide? Do you decide as a family? Do you decide as individuals? Give us some tips as to how to approach this.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think for me, it's so important to discuss things as a family, because, and as a group, you know, even in your workspaces, in your school spaces, because as you said, Howard, this is, you know, this is a situation where personal, you know, decisions have impact on other people. So I think for me, it really is about, you know, sitting down together and communicating and understanding that some people do have lockdown fatigue and are desperate to get out, are desperate to do things that they haven't done, but that certain people have real anxieties, and some are based on comorbidities. People could really get sick if they do contract coronavirus. So, you know, and that might sound like a cliche coming from a psychologist, but really it is about communication. But because if you really understand that people are scared, are anxious, and really are worried about their health and their well-being, then I think for me there'll be more understanding from people who kind of are less anxious and kind of want to just move on with life. So it really is about having respect for another person, realizing that your impact, you know, what you decide is clearly going to impact on the people around you. So ideally it is around talking and understanding the other person's perspective. And if, as again, you know, failing that, then just really about taking control of what you can control of. Mm-hmm. You decide what you're going to do, and you don't have to apologize about that, and really be aware of the pressure, you know, that people are going to put onto you. But to remember why you decided to do you know, what you decided to do.
To some extent though, this makes it makes it difficult for a lot of us. I know my daughter came home from school yesterday and said there were two kids or a number of kids who had taken off their masks sometime in class or whatever, and it made her very uncomfortable. A few of them were, and they didn't quite know what to do because all of a sudden, now that school's gone back, we're suddenly in a situation where even our kids are expected to be vigilant, and she was worried because if she's in that situation, then she comes home and my father, who has a number of comorbidities, you know, she's worried about bringing that home and dealing with certain things. It makes everybody a bit of a policeman, and that's quite a difficult situation to be in.
It is. And I think for me, probably the best way to go about it is to not go in attacking someone or not go in, aggressive.
So my advice to slap them with the masks, that they weren't wearing is not good advice, David.
Probably not. But she could remember we said that probably number one is to cough in their direction and go, I'm not feeling so well.
There is
maybe
that.
Maybe it's that.
I said
COVID
God
thing.
Put elastics on these masks for a reason. Use them.
Absolutely. You know, I think for me, you know, and I know a family member of mine has had situations where people at shops have worn their masks at half mast, and kind of not worn them at all, and has actually gone up to them and said, please, I don't mean to be rude, but I just, you know, where is your mask? And please, can you put your mask on? Because I'm very anxious about getting the coronavirus. And I think, you know, in the majority of situations,
if you handle it that way, you know, it's not offensive, really. Yeah. I mean, yes, a person feels uncomfortable because they've been called out, but they're not, you're not saying, you know, listen, you old ugly bag, you know, cover your face and, up for the good of the world, you know.
And some people actually have responded and said, sorry, you know, oh God, I forgot to take it out of my bag. You know, I forgot to put it on after I had a sip of water or whatever it might be. You know, it's some people are not, being, I love the word dafka, you know, sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes by mistake, we forget to do things because it takes a lot of energy to be constantly vigilant on what we need to do. So again, I think for me, if we can go in with the assumption that this person is not doing this on purpose or not doing this deliberately and giving them the heads up, and then, you know, I would imagine the majority of people are going to put on their masks and say, yeah, absolutely, you know, thank you. But if they don't, then you take it from there, you know, again, because as you said, it is the law.
100%. David Abramson, psychologist in private practice. This is where we leave it. It is 8:28.